One of the last things I got to do before we all kind of canceled everything here around the parishes was that I got to teach a class on the Gospels to our high school students, to the ones down at St. Lawrence and Immaculate Conception. And so we did all talked about the Gospels in so many different ways. But as the evening went on, it was supposed to be a two-hour class. You could tell that everybody was getting tired, including myself. And all the kids, you know, their attention was great after, you know, 7 hours at school and then 2 more hours at CCD, and things started to fade rather quickly. And unfortunately, what was left was maybe one of the most beautiful points in all of the Gospels. What was kind of missed was just touched on very briefly, something very beautiful that's in the Gospel according to St. John, which of course we hear today. And the point that kind of got shortchanged, I guess, is this fact that in all four Gospels, as you look at the first public act that Jesus does, it sets the tone for the rest of the Gospels. So, for example, in the Gospel of Luke, the first thing that Jesus does publicly is he goes to the synagogue and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to give sight to those who are blind, to comfort the mourn. So it's this great jubilee of mercy in Luke. It becomes this great gospel of mercy. First thing that happens publicly for Jesus in the Gospel of John is the wedding feast in Cana. A very, very familiar story to us where Jesus transforms the water into wine. And that sets the tone for the rest of the Gospel. And the Gospel of John has this whole, it's a story of transformations. And we get that in the Sunday Gospels that here in Lent. So this last Sunday we had the woman at the well, and you can see that transformation of her own life as it goes. And next Sunday we have the raising of Lazarus, and that's the big transformation of the guy who's dead and comes to life again. But you also see the transformation of faith. That's ultimately the transformation that the Lord wants to give us. And of course, this Sunday, there's an incredible transformation that exists in the man born blind. This man born blind goes for an incredible conversion. And as we walk through his transformation today, it's powerful. We can see ourselves in it. We can see ourselves in this transformation. And the very first thing is to notice about this transformation of the man born blind is that it actually starts with Jesus' initiative. So many times when people are healed, it begins with the people coming to Jesus. Think about the woman who simply touches the tassel of the cloak. She reaches out to grab her. Or even blind Bartimaeus, who sits by the side of the road and yells, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It begins with them coming to the Lord, them reaching out, shouting for him, or coming to say, "Jesus, heal my son who's dead." This one's different. It starts, it has no initiative of the man born blind. It starts with Christ going to him. And he begins with this declaration, "I am the light of the world." And then he goes to the man. And he just tells him what to do. Jesus really, before they have any dialogue, Jesus spits on the ground, makes this mud, and just shoves it in his eyes. Before we have any recorded dialogue, that's what happens. And if the man only kind of hears the pitter-patter of Jesus coming, and maybe he hears this conversation in the background, you're a little startled. So Jesus makes this initiative. The first thing that we hear from this man, though, is after he washes, after he's healed, he regains his sight, the neighbors come to him, and they have this kind of conversation. Is this the guy that was actually born blind? And the man simply says something very short. He simply says, "I am." And, you know, we can go to the Gospel of John, how important that word is, "I am." But he basically just gives a little faction. "Are you this guy?" And he simply says, "I am." He's not ready to proclaim it from the rooftops that Jesus healed him. But it begins with this simple phrase, "I am." It's just stating the facts. And the facts continue, because they ask, how did this happen? Well, he just runs down the story. It's like just reading a history book. "The man called Jesus made clay. He anointed my eyes and told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went there and washed and was able to see." Where is he? They asked. He said, I don't know. So he just states the facts. He just simply tells the story. There's nothing of faith yet. But there is just this sign that he's relating the truth of the matter. That's all. And the next thing happens when they bring him to the Pharisees and ask him again what happened. He said, well, he put clay on my eyes. I washed and now I can see. So it's this simple, he's telling facts. But then if he's pressed a little bit, the Pharisees say, well, what do you make of Jesus? Who do you think he is? What do you have to say about him? Is the question since he opened your eyes. So now they kind of push him and they say, well, what do you make of this? Who is Jesus to you? And he simply says, he is a prophet. It's a fine answer. It's a true answer. But it's not that he's the Son of God. It's not that he's the Messiah. It's not that he's the Redeemer. But it's simply, he's a prophet. So there's a little bit of growth, but the transformation is not complete yet. Because then they go back and forth. So then they go to his parents. They kind of question his parents. Is this actually your son? Is he actually born blind? How did it happen? And they kind of give all of their answers. But then the Pharisees come back to him, and they begin to push him a little bit. And they say, well, give God the praise. We know he's a sinner. And he gives just another factual answer. He says, if he's a sinner, I don't know. But one thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see. So again, he just simply states the facts. I don't know if he's a sinner. I'm not ready to make a judgment. But I was blind, and now I see. But then they begin to press him. They begin to push him. They begin to challenge him. And then he begins, and as he's challenged, as things get difficult, the transformation begins to happen a little bit more. It's kind of like if you're trying to fry chicken. How do you get fried chicken through a fast food restaurant? That seems impossible because chicken frying, it's kind of a slower process if you're just doing it in a pan. And the great insight that Colonel Sanders had is that if you put chicken in a pressure cooker, it cooks faster. And that's what happens with this man. As he's put under pressure, it begins, his faith cooks faster. The chicken, if his soul cooks just a little bit faster. And so he has to answer again. I told you already, and you did not listen. Why did you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? It was like, kind of like, are you here because you want to follow him? And then they press him again. They begin to put him under this pressure. And you can see, as he's put under pressure, his faith begins to transform. And they begin to say, he's not from God. And then he has this beautiful line. This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone open the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. So we have another level of this transformation. He recognizes that he is God. And Jesus comes back into the picture. And then Jesus begins to make this kind of invitation to a mature, to a fully transformed faith. And he says to this man, do you believe that he is the Son? Do you believe in the Son of Man? And you hear this readiness, right? This man has been put under pressure. His faith is going from just stating facts to then making a judgment that he's a prophet. But now he's ready. Because he says, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? He's ready to turn his life over to the Lord. And then Jesus says, I am he, the one speaking with you. And then we have the mature faith, the fully transformed life of the man born blind, as he says, I do believe, Lord. And he worshiped. And there he is. The man's come through this transformation. He believes and he worships. That's what's going to happen in this next part of Mass. Right? We believe. Right after this, we're going to celebrate, we're going to recite, proclaim the creed to say, we do believe. And then we come to the altar here to worship God, to have this man's life set before us. He has the dialogue with Jesus, the word, then the creed, I do believe, and then the worship. That's what the Lord invites us to today. It's what the Lord invites us to every day as we get the opportunity to worship Him. Of course, it's worship at a time that's tinged with a little bit of sadness. We celebrate today Laetare Sunday. It's supposed to be a day of great rejoicing. It's kind of a day of sadness. I talked to a parishioner recently, or just yesterday, who said this is the first time I haven't been at Sunday Mass that he could ever remember. And so we unite that suffering to the suffering of Christ on the cross. We ask Him still to transform us. We still make this journey of the man born blind. We make this journey of faith, of this total transformation into Christ. And even though we can't come before the altar physically, in our hearts, maybe before a crucifix in our own home, we come before the Lord to worship this day. We ask that the Lord may take us through this journey, because it's a journey that's going to be pressurized. It's going to be a moment where we're under even more pressure, just like the man who was born blind. But the good news is that when our faith is put under pressure, it allows for a deeper faith. It allows for a deeper sense of saying, I do believe, and then turning to our Lord this day, every day of our life. Like the man born blind, we turn to the Lord, worship Him.